You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation. I believe this is our last one for 2024.
Oh, wow.
But don't worry, we have more lined up for 2025, so don't be sad.
Always more.
Always more. Yes. If Dr. Bonnick had his way, every episode would be Set Apart to Serve.
That's true.
But it's, you know, we have some great stories, and I am thrilled to share all these stories about Set Apart to Serve. A friend right down the hall here at the LCMS International Center. We're going to talk with Pastor Jonathan Maynard and Justin Bowman. Thanks, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for your support of The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Reverend Jonathan Maynard. He is the director of PALS. We'll learn what that is. And continuing education and pastoral education here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Pastor Maynard, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Looking forward to learning about PALS. And I know that means that we're not just friends.
Although we are.
We are friends. That's true. But your job isn't just like being the director of friends.
That would be a fun.
Director of friends. I'm the friend director.
Fun. I would do that.
A fun coordinator. I think it was your daughter-in-law, actually. It was the fun coordinator at one time.
Yes, she was.
She was coordinator of fun.
Yes.
Yes. Here in the International Center. I think she was just self-appointed fun coordinator.
I believe so. But
you're not the friend director. You're the director of PALS. What does PALS stand for? Because we're Lutherans and we have acronyms for everything.
I was just going to say that. We have to have our acronyms. So PALS stands for Post-Seminary Applied Learning and Support. So it is the acronym that leads us to caring for pastors and their wives and families as they transition from that life at the seminary where they're connected with everyone and then out in the parish where they still may be connected closely with classmates and others, but they may be very far from family and others. So the PALS program serves to help them and encourage them and support them as they enter those early years of ministry.
And we'll talk more about what that means and looks like in just a second. But since this is Set Apart to Serve and it's been a while since you've been on, give us a brief story, journey of your journey into pastoral ministry.
Yeah, I've been lifelong LCMS Lutheran, but had no idea that God was leading me to church work early on. I have a business management degree in my undergrad. And for several years after that, my wife and I owned a Dairy Queen. And I managed a bagel bakery, so not even close to ministry, but
ice cream and bagels, though.
I mean, sounds like a Sunday morning.
Actually, it did allow me to have some great conversations about my faith and being a business owner and then also manager. I have some great conversations with employees over the years of why do you go to church and what does that mean that you're a Christian? So those were great as well. But then a couple years before seminary, my wife Tiffany and I were leading a youth group at our church and highly enjoying that, connecting with youth, being very involved with that, and lots of series of things of work life and personal life and all those things, and felt that God was leading me towards ministry. And guess what? I went and talked to my pastor, because pastors are ones who help encourage and influence young people to go into church work. And that was a blessing to me. I think we talked for 3 hours that day. It was quite a long thing. And he was very gracious and said, we love having strong lay leaders in the church, but you'd probably be a good pastor too. So greatly encouraged by my pastor. And then as started talking about it, the people in the church, the parents of our youth group kids, all of those people in my life encouraged me towards ministry. So
let's go back in time. Since you said that was probably about a 3 hour conversation that day, do you remember how that conversation started with your pastor and how he responded when you said maybe you were thinking about, well, I don't know, how did the conversation start for you and how did he respond?
That's an interesting question. It was a long time ago. I believe it started with talking about just life in general and how much I was enjoying working with the youth and spending time at church and things not really happening in my career as far as moving forward, wanting to buy another Dairy Queen. It wasn't working out, wanting to manage more and move up in different areas of food service and not really happening. And so what's really happening in my life? And so we talked about that and how God works in our life. And again, talked about how he was appreciative of my wife, Tiffany, and I and our work with the youth and how much of a difference that was making at our church as God was working through us, but yet seeing how being a pastor would be a benefit to the church at large as well.
I think this is a unique one. I think this is the first time we've had someone say, I'm thinking about buying another Dairy Queen, but maybe I'll go to seminary instead.
Yeah, that is definitely not one that comes up very often.
But you had a very encouraging pastor and that who listened to what you had to say and took the time to hear that and to encourage you to consider the gifts God had given you, to encourage you to consider seminary.
Yeah, that was wonderful for him to do that. Again, potentially losing some strong lay leaders and people in the church, but he definitely encouraged in that way. And like I said, then, you know, others in the church and family as well. And, you know, my father didn't have a lot of things to say often, but when I talked to my parents about, you know, this possibility, he sent me a card, which not characteristic of my father, but he put the verse in there about desiring a noble task from Timothy. And that was a big encouragement to me as well from my father. So.
Yeah, absolutely. To have your parents on board. And that's a pretty big life change to go from management to seminary, to the ministry.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How have you seen all of those skills from business, from management? How have you seen those translate into applicable skills for ministry as well?
You know, I think God definitely uses all those things that we have in our past to help with that. And so my first call was to a church and school, and my management skills were used greatly there. We had a very young staff, and we had a lot of interaction that was needed and support that was needed, and could definitely see how that was used. And throughout the years, even my financial background from business usually appreciated in the church, and yeah, it was good. Not every pastor can read a spreadsheet and a balance sheet and talk about what that looks like in ministry and how that all plays out. Definitely have the opportunity to use those past skills.
Well, I'm sure running an operation such as a Dairy Queen or a bagel shop and having employees and then serving in a school setting, and maybe if you had early childhood, extended care, anything like that, you have staff of all ages there as well. I imagine those management skills that you developed when running the shops probably were very useful when leading a team as well, understanding how to lead a team.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. It was a big benefit to not have that be something brand new.
So let's now jump forward to those that you work with in PALS and think about pastors who were in similar situations to yours, maybe second career coming from a previous career in going through seminary and coming into the parish, or maybe going right through a school, college, seminary and going right into the parish. Either situation, they're coming into a new vocation, new experience, whether single or married, married with family, with children. This is all a big change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about some of the questions or challenges that come up that present a great opportunity for PALS to support them through those changes.
Sure. Yeah. Often just the situation itself, as I said earlier, could be far from family, could be far from classmates, a support system that they've had for several years and now are in a brand new setting. And the PALS program gets together these new pastors in each district and allows them to talk about what that looks like and how they are handling not only the demands of parish ministry, but of new friendships and new communities and all the things that we all go through when we move, of doctors and car mechanics and all the things that we have to establish while trying to lead and be a pastor in a church to preach and teach and study and lead Bible study and figure out what the pattern of life is like as a pastor, but also in a new situation. And so PALS comes alongside them. The program is organized with a seasoned pastor and his wife who lead our gatherings, and they come alongside them to help ask the questions, what they're dealing with, and help them through those things. As a new pastor, second career didn't really matter when it came to some of the challenges in ministry that were brand new. And Tiffany and I were big receivers of the PALS program as new pastors in a first call that was kind of challenging, and our PALS group was there for us and was a great benefit to us as we encountered those first early years.
Yeah. We've learned that, what, 50% of church workers are talking to youth about considering church work vocation. Why is that number only at 50%?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the challenges that come up as a church worker, whether a pastor or any of the vocations, the commissioned workers. It is not always an easy vocation, a blessed one for sure, as the Lord works through his church workers. But it can be difficult and it can be a struggle at times. And as you think about your children and what you want for them, if you're going through challenging, struggling times, it may not be as easy to talk to them about doing something similar to what you're doing. And so that's part of what Set Apart to Serve is here for, what PALS is here for, that our worker wellness efforts to really support and encourage our workers so that they are healthy in many ways and the areas of their life, even in the midst of the challenges and the hardships that can be a part of serving in the church, that there's great joy there too, and helping and supporting others is how we get to that place.
We'll talk more about that in just a moment. We'll learn more about how PALS is encouraging pastors to have intentional conversations with the youth in their congregation to think more about full-time church work. We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve conversation on the Coffee Hour today with the Reverend Jonathan Maynor. He's director of PALS and continuing education here at the LCMS International Center. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Only 750 of over 7,000 languages spoken in the world have the full Bible. Lutheran Bible Translators wants to help close the gap in this generation. We can do this with your help. Connect your congregation to the Global Church by hosting a Bible Translation Sunday, an advocacy event that raises awareness about Bible translation. Lutheran Bible Translators provides ready-to-use service elements, a sermon outline, and more, all designed to fit your church's schedule. Join the movement of Lutheran churches committed to bringing God's word to every language. Visit lbt.org/bts to learn more and sign up for a Bible Translation Sunday. That's lbt.org/bts.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve conversation today with the Reverend Jonathan Maynor, Director of PALS and Continuing Education here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Now, we've been talking about PALS and how PALS supports pastors, their wives, and families, especially in those first few years right after seminary, making that transition into really becoming a pastor, right? Mm-hmm. Seminary makes a seminary and the parish makes the pastor. Mm-hmm. And so really that full experience in the parish and making that transition, encouraging one another through that. And you shared a little bit with us about what that those PALS gatherings look like with a experienced pastor and his wife leading the sessions and talking about what that life looks like and the challenges you face in those first few years. And one of those challenges is learning to talk to youth about full-time church work. So how are you doing that with PALS? How are you encouraging pastors and maybe their wives too to consider how they might have conversations with youth about becoming full-time church workers?
It's a great time in ministry when you've just finished seminary and presumably you have done this with great joy. You're anxious, you're excited, you're eager to be out there and to be serving in that setting. And now you get to interact with the youth, whether that's in worship, in Bible study, in confirmation class, whatever the situation is, that's a great time for that to happen. And so as we work with our facilitators, we have them in every year for a conference here. And we had Dr. Bonick speak with them this year about Set Apart to Serve and the things that are happening there. And we talked about how they can be a great influencer as a a new pastor, even a new pastor's wife as well, to encourage others to consider this as they get to know the youth and even the adults, those who could be second career church workers. Those opportunities for conversation are just as prevalent as with the youth as well. And it's just a great time in their service to the church to be able to think about what took them, you know, to that place. You know, when I was a vicar, I wasn't a pastor yet, but we had a man at our vicar's church who was thinking about becoming a pastor, and he had all kinds of questions. He would have been second career as well, and actually he is a pastor now. But as I sat there as a vicar, he said, well, how did you pick up your family and move? We had three kids at the time. How did you manage this? I can't imagine going to seminary to do this, but great conversations. And even as a vicar and then yeah, as a new pastor, these are opportunities to talk with others as they see the path that you've taken and they get to know you and get to know your story. They are encouraged by it, and it's a great time to share those stories and encourage them as well.
Do you have stories from PALS participants or even from your own experience of ways that have been useful, helpful, edifying for the youth, for those conversations to happen, situations that have been really beneficial for youth to talk to them about church work?
You know, as we hear from PALS pastors, after each of our gatherings, they share, you know, what they've learned and how the gatherings are going. And we hear stories about the benefit of PALS to them as pastors and wives, but we also hear about how they are building relationships early on in their ministry. And we hear about how they are connecting with their new congregation and the people there. And we do hear stories of how they are able to work with the youth and with others too, that the people are asking them questions and they do see it could be a possibility, that especially the curiosity, you know, is raised and with the new pastor. So I think it kind of goes both ways, right? Not only is it a great opportunity as a new pastor to talk about these things, but also there's a strong curiosity as the relationships are formed as the, well, who is this guy? Who's our new pastor? And who is this, his wife? And you know, what's been their journey and what does that look like? So it's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fresh out of seminary. So they know what seminary life is like. I could probably ask them all kinds of good questions about what seminary life is like.
Yeah.
No, we talked earlier about the fact that only about 50% of church workers are talking about church work vocations with youth and encouraging them to consider church work vocations. And one of the reasons for that might be because church work is so challenging. Some of the difficulties or challenges that church workers face. And so let's talk about the importance of worker wellness and how is worker wellness a part of PALS?
Yeah, I think a great connection with worker wellness and Set Apart to Serve and PALS that we're really seeing here is that we're changing the culture with Set Apart to Serve as the Lord is working through the conversations that happen. So what does it mean you encourage someone to go into church work? We're not going to say, okay, fine, great. You're a church worker now. You're all on your own. Right. We continue to care for the person and just, I say we, I mean, as a church body, right? We congregations in our districts and here at the Synod level too, we continue to care for our workers. And so PALS is one of those opportunities to intentionally say, you know, are serving as a full-time church worker. Perhaps it's because of a conversation with your pastor or a leader or your parents, your family. We're here now to come alongside you and to support you. And especially, again, for pastors, we have something exciting happening in PALS. Often we get asked, well, what about the commission workers? Do you have anything like that? Well, we are just starting PALS for deaconesses, and we're looking at the other church work vocations as well. And so we want to come alongside all of our church workers in those early years and help them to be well in all of the areas of wellness, physical and spiritual and relational and financial and all of the things that we look at as far as worker health. And so PALS is one way to do that. The worker wellness efforts that are led here out of our Office of National Mission, that with districts and with congregations and with Concordia plans and all of the partners that we have to continue to encourage the health of our workers, that it wouldn't be a barrier to just look at the challenges, but to look at the joys as well and to share those things with those considering church work as well.
Yeah, ministry life can be really challenging in multifaceted ways. It's not just, you know, a time constraint. It's finding time to do things and self-care and exercise and food and taking care of your, like, there's all these different things. So worker wellness is really important. It's good to hear that PALS is working alongside with all of that. And one way that workers are cared for is showing appreciation for them. And this Christmas Advent season, it's really busy time for pastors, for all church workers.
Yeah.
This is a great time to show appreciation for church workers. How can that be a part of worker wellness and showing our appreciation?
Yeah, I think it's great to think about the demands on the schedule this time of year, of course, as you mentioned. And all of us have had a pastor or a church worker who have served us as they serve the congregation. And we can think about their efforts and think about how we can thank them. And it can be simple words of thank you. I know it's a busy time of year for you. We appreciate what you do for us. It can be cards. It can be gifts. It can be all those things. Sometimes just the simple, hey, I know it's a busy time of year, praying for you is great to hear as a church worker. And so it is a great time for those in the church to think about their workers and to thank them, appreciate them for the efforts that go on, by all means.
How does this season also afford us more opportunities to talk with youth about considering church work vocations and maybe those college students too who might be home?
Yeah, it's a time in the church where we're together a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's Advent services and you know, Christmas services, children's program rehearsals, you know, we're around each other a lot in this time of year. And that, what a great benefit and joy that is. And that includes family members traveling home, whether they're church work students at our Concordia schools, if they're college kids in general. All of those are opportunities just to continue to talk with them, building relationship, but also intentionally, if those church work students are home, to encourage them along that way as they go through their formation. It's a great time to encourage them. And like I said, in general, just it's a time of year that we're together a lot. And so it's a great opportunity to just be encouraging one another and thinking about church workers as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if we are in a congregation where we have a fairly new pastor, maybe only a year or two out from seminary, how can we be encouraging him and his family to be a part of PALS? What's an appropriate question to ask without being imposing?
Or awkward.
that's a great question. And, you know, we do our best from our office to communicate with all these new pastors, to encourage them. Our program is wonderful because of the facilitators that we have in place. And many of them are serving a parish and they're giving of their time, you know, an effort to care for the new workers. And so if you're in a congregation with the new pastor, it's a great chance to just ask them, hey, is PALS part of your routine right now? And they may say, well, maybe. And hopefully they say, yeah, absolutely, we're a part of that. And ask them about it, because the information we get back from the retreats, if you look at lcms.org/PALS, the bottom of the page is our PALS newsletter. And you can look through there and see, we put all the comments in there about, not all of them, not enough room, but the comments that we get back and hear how much of a blessing PALS is. So as a layperson in the congregation, to encourage your pastor to be a part of it and encourage them that it's not attending a PALS gathering is not to be their day off. It's not vacation time. It's part of the rhythm of ministry. And so it's a great question to ask too, is, you know, are we doing this as just part of the rhythm of ministry and supporting them in that? And if you're a leader in the church, to be sure that that's the case and not asking them to take vacation time or days off to be a part of PALS, because it's part of their support and encouragement from the congregation and from those who are walking with them. Yeah.
Well, I've certainly learned a lot today about PALS, post-seminary applied learning and support. I've learned a lot about that today. I also learned something about you. So I have one more question.
Oh, no.
The last question.
It's about food.
Sarah and I have worked together too long. Of course it is. So you owned a bagel shop. in a DQ, favorite bagel?
That's such a difficult question.
I know.
Because are we talking breakfast or lunch? It makes a difference.
Okay. Well, one for each then. One for breakfast, one for lunch.
Love this.
You kind of go with the plain bagel for breakfast and variety of cream cheese maybe.
I do love cream cheese.
It's true.
Favorite lunch? Probably everything bagel.
Oh, yeah.
Plain cream cheese with roast beef.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
And the veggies, of course. But
of course.
Yeah.
Or you could go sun-dried tomato with turkey and vegetables, too. You know, it's...
I know who's planning our next staff luncheon.
Okay, well. Very good. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. Our guest today, the Reverend Jonathan Maynard, Director of PALS and Continuing Education. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.